This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is retired television personality Carl Berg. Welcome to Issues 2024, Carl.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Nice to have you with us. From time to time, I like to devote this program to well-known personalities in our community, and that means I've interviewed many of our local media people, and it's Carl's turn. Hey, let's begin, if we will, let's begin at the end of your career. I mean, you worked in the local aircraft industry, I believe.
I did, right down the street here at Beach Aircraft.
How many years were you there, Jeff?
Well, I had a 25-year program.
So what prepared you for that? Just being me?
Well, I started flying in, you won't believe this, but in 1948. So I always liked airplanes. I always had three goals in mind in my life. One was to be a radio announcer. Two was to have a Cadillac. And three was to fly an airplane.
And there,
aren't those worthy goals?
Oh, yes. So that work, how was that going to work after working in TV so many years?
Well, you know, I worked in the sales department in marketing. And the fact that you could communicate has a lot to do with the sales.
Sure.
And I think the communication probably did me well.
Okay. Did you learn to lie a lot, too?
I won't comment on that.
Sorry, Carl. Now the beginning. Let's go back the other way. Where are you from, and how did you get into broadcasting?
Well, if you want to go back that far, that was down in southeast Kansas. I'm not very far from, I've heard you talk about Iola. I came from Neodesha.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, a little town, southeast Kansas. Came from a farm, hated the farm. I'm sorry to farmers. I love farmers, but I don't like to farm. But I went from there to K-State and came down to Wichita, In those days, it was called the Municipal University of Wichita.
Right.
We had 2,600 students and majored in broadcasting and speech and some other things, Spanish. And I went to work for KWBB part-time. You remember KWBB?
I sure do. That's the station where I started.
Right.
Yeah, many years after you. But
then, yes, of course. And then I worked there full-time till I went to the Air Force and went to aviation cadets in the Korean conflict and got to flying school. The war ended, and they turned us all out to, you know, different bases around the country. So I ended up in Tennessee, and while I was there, I was in the information services area, and they had a radio station in Murfreesboro that needed an announcer on weekends, somebody to fill in while everyone else went home, I guess. So I got that duty and worked at a station called WGNS, Dairyland of the South, Murfreesboro.
See, contrast radio in those days and what we're doing today. I know you've listened a little bit, but wasn't pretty much everything when you started, everything live? I mean,
Everything was live. We didn't have anything.
Did you play records or anything though? Or
not? Yeah, well, where you're sitting with all your computerization and so forth. We had three turntables, and when you went to work, I did the morning drive show, and from 6 to 9, kind of like yours.
Yeah.
And when you came in, you queued up the records, back-queued them, you know, and you had a switch on the panel, and one was premiere or promo.
Yeah.
The other side was air.
Right.
And if you happen to get one of them switched, you know the consequence.
Same thing. It's the same thing here. I mean, if you get the If you get the A instead of the P, you're on the
right. Right.
Vice versa.
So nothing's changed in that regard for sure.
Do you remember the first time you went on the air? Were you nervous?
Nervous. I was. I won't even describe my nervousness.
I think I know what you're talking about.
The first time I ever faced a microphone was at a little radio station in Independence, KIND. And I had a speech course at the high school. I won a speech contest. My teacher took me down there and made me read it on the air. I shook the paper almost, you know.
Could hear it.
Yeah. But that was the first time. Then I went to work at a FM station at K-State, KSDB-FM. No one's ever heard of these places.
I have. I know all these callers.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
And then I came down to Wichita because I spent too much money at K-State. My dad says, well, that's the end of the line for me. And I said, fine. So I came down to get a job.
And let's just go ahead. Let's pause for a minute. No, explain to our listeners your voice and why you're kind of raspy.
Yeah, that happened later in life, of course. That was in 1990, and I started getting hoarse, and I went to the doctor, and he said, well, it doesn't look so much, but I'll take a biopsy just in case. And when he did, why, of course, it was only the size of a grain of rice, but it was cancerous. So they did radiation, and that came back in 6 months. Then they took a laser divot out, and that lasted 2 years. Finally, I just had total surgery, and they took out part of the vocal fold. That's been 3 years ago.
Oh, fortunately, you are enunciating well, so I can understand you.
Well, I can order French fries and a Coke at the drive-up.
There you go. At any point in this interview, I may ask you about individual personalities.
Surely.
I'll tell us as much as you want. But who was your biggest influence in those early days? Was there a person or persons?
J.F. Kaltenborn. Do you ever remember him?
I know the name.
Yeah, NBC.
Yeah.
And you know, in those days, everyone had to have these mellifluous tones.
Oh, yeah, the voice. We had to have the voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so we all tried to copy him. He didn't adapt too well to local radio, however. So about that time, Lee Nichols came on at BB and kind of shot everything differently. I mean, Lee was a looser personality with a Western twang. And everybody loved him.
Yeah.
So we all had to kind of change our style.
Yeah, I was throwing out a personality. I just thought of somebody who I think was from Southeast Kansas, a fellow by the name of Gadberry.
Bob Gadberry?
Bob Gadberry.
I knew Bob. Not well, but I knew him.
He wound up at Fourth National, I believe.
Yes.
He told me when he worked at KFH,
right,
which was probably 30s or whatever, he said we had 4 piano players on staff.
Oh, yeah. That's back in the Ark Valley days,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
I have a cousin, Justin Bradshaw. I don't know if you know the name. He was at KFBI in the early days and then went on to New York and to a local station, then became president of BMI.
Wow.
So,
there you go.
No, I'm sorry, ASCAP.
Which is a licensing...
licensing for records.
Yeah, okay.
Music.
Okay, let's transition to television. How did you get into TV?
Well, I was working at BB at the time, had the morning drive show, and...
Everybody who's ever worked here calls it BB.
Yeah, I know it. Isn't that? Yeah. I was KB at BB, so...
Yeah, there you go.
I got a call from Martin Umansky.
At Cake. Yeah.
Cake TV. He was looking for somebody to do a dance show.
And, are you a good dancer, by the way?
I wasn't.
I guess you didn't need to. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So I thought, well, in those days, Dick Clark was a big guy, of course.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So I was supposed to emulate him. I thought, well, when I go over there, that'd be great. And he paid me a little more money, which I liked. But I got over there and I said, now what do I do? I'd never been on television. And He said, well, that's called a microphone. That's called a camera. And you go out and spin the record and talk to some kids.
Yeah.
And that was it.
So did you actually, I don't remember the show, but that one and the one, the Hi-Fi Hop or whatever, yours was called what?
Hi, Mars's Cake Dance Party, but Hi-Fi Hop. Was with Bill Brooks.
Did you guys, I don't remember, did you actually have turntables on camera?
No.
Somebody else was doing
that. They played it from the sound booth,
yeah. Okay. Well, was there anything, have any awkward moments there during that show? Because it was all live, I presume.
Well, let's see.
Was it live?
Oh, live.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't know what tape was. We're back in the wire recording days.
Yeah.
Remember those? You don't remember
those.
No,
that's, I'm sorry.
Well, so am I.
Well, so did anything really amazing happen?
Oh, we had live. We brought live people in.
Sure.
I remember one time we brought this snake guy in from O'Keen, Oklahoma, where they hunt snakes. And I'm deathly afraid of snakes, I'll tell you right now. And he came in and brought this whole cage of snakes and rattlesnakes. Was going to show them to us. Tell us how wonderful the meat is and all of that. And so they were cold when they came in. But with the studio lights, they didn't get cold. Can you excuse me?
Sure. So they're cold-blooded animals. They pick up, their blood picks up whatever's around them.
They do. And when the lights got warm, they began to crawl. And a couple of them got away in the studio. And I ended up on the top of the set. I tell you that. That's not my cup of tea right there.
You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is retired television personality Carl Berg. And Carl, time's going to get away from us because I think you could probably do about four hours and still have some time
left
over. You know, TV personalities weren't always as specialized in the early days. So you did the dance party. What else did you do? I bet you were on other things.
You did everything in those days. Yeah, you did. You had a specialty show. I'm sorry.
No problem. Just keep going. You're here. You're okay.
You had a specialty show.
Yeah.
But you also did everything else. You did booth announcing. You did commercials. Oh, my goodness. Live commercials. And you did movies, intros. You swept up sometimes. Not really.
I want you to share with us some of the people you work with. First of all, you mentioned a person who is a huge personality in TV, and that's Martin Umansky. This is behind the scenes. He was the manager at Cake for I don't know how many years, but what and radio. He was the manager.
Oh
of
yeah,
radio
he started at KANS Radio.
And he was a little different.
Martin, I think that adequately
I'd say
unique is better.
There you go.
One of a kind.
You got a Martin story for us? One or two?
Oh, we've been all Martinized.
Martinized being...
If Martin knew, but Martin had three TV monitors in his office, one on each channel, and then he had a small one for the local studio. And if you made a mistake, which was often in those days, Martin would come charging down the street, you know, and down the stairs, and want to know what's going on. This is a professional organization. We want you to be professional. And so we tried our best to be that way. We had other things that, excuse me, happened that I'd like to say I can't really.
Let me put one in. Do you know Daryl Lynn?
I do not.
Daryl worked at Cake and Cake Radio for a while. He told me a story where he was working in radio and doing a newscast, I don't know, late at night. And he blew a couple of words or something. He blew it live.
Yeah.
And as soon as he got off the air, the phone rang. And it was Martin Umansky.
Oh, yes. Martin would do that.
And he says, you know, he chewed him out a little bit about that. And he says, Daryl says, well, you know, even Walter Cronkite makes mistakes now and then. And Martin said, Walter Cronkite doesn't work for Cake TV.
Absolutely.
Now, that's typical. Right? That's the way kind of guy he was. But he was brilliant.
He was a brilliant man. He truly was one of a kind. And you know, in those days, when the station went on the air in 1954, I didn't join till 56 and 7. Everything was different because TV was different. We were the third station on the air, the FM, the UHF station went on the air first, 22, and then, of course, Channel 12, and then we came on at 54. But people were different. The people that watched were different. The standards weren't very high because nobody knew exactly what standard to judge by, except the black and white stuff in New York. And Martin was a big man also in the industry, but also at the network. He was constantly queried by the network, ABC, for his advice.
Yes.
He was a big man, you know, mm-hmm. with large eyes. And when things went wrong, he would come down charging with eyes wide open,
bug-eyed,
fist full of stuff. And you knew that things weren't all right.
Let's talk about John Froom.
John Froom, unique also. In those days, John did, of course, Party Line. I was the big program for the ladies in those days.
Around the noon hour, yeah.
Yeah. And I did the intros for that and some of the walk-ons. But John was the real talent in town in those days. And when when I came on, he kind of relinquished his duties as weatherman to me. Well, we had weather, of course, in aviation, but we had a teletype we ripped and tore, you know. And
yeah, yeah.
They said it was going to rain in Wichita, we would run outside to be sure there was a cloud in the sky because they don't know what they're talking about in Kansas City.
But no computers, all the great graphics we have now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No computer. Well, the graphics we used then, we had what they call an RP, rear projection, but they weren't like the ones today, digitized. They were glass slides, and occasionally they would get hot and crack right in the middle. So one day we had a beautiful, I think, a scene of from Colorado. And we were right in the middle of the Southwest National Bank commercial, and there was this crash and crack. And I think they thought they had an earthquake in Colorado because the scene up there split wide open. And you just carried on.
John also, his on-air persona, he did the old Cobbler.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a kid's show. And,
oh, yeah. Kid shows were big in those days. And good. Martin insisted on live talent on everything.
Yeah. And you had Bill McLean, who did Captain Bill and
Captain
Popeye.
Captain Bill and Popeye.
I watched those guys.
And announcing, we all did.
Yeah. And I played basketball against Bill's kids.
Oh, yeah.
Deputy Dusty. Tell me about Deputy Dusty.
Oh, Deputy Dusty. Now, there is an that's more than unique. That is one of a kind. Dusty was a really nice guy, and he had that swale and swag and the talk, you know. I remember one day, I think I mentioned this to you earlier, that we had the set like the jail, and Dusty would sit in a rocking chair and sit back and talk to the little buckaroos out there, you know, and he had a dog named King, and one day King's tail happened to get under the rocking chair, I guess. And he went yow and crashed right through the set, knocked the whole thing off, and old Dusty just tipped his hat back and said, "Buckaroos, we're going to the movies now."
And he showed the movie.
And he showed the movie. Nothing ever flapped that guy. He was unflappable.
Really? Did you work with Ollie Henry?
No, I did not work.
Maybe been before you. He had a kid's show at lunchtime. And he used to make these terrible banana sandwiches. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't bore you with that. But how about Henry Harvey?
Henry Harvey. Very
also known as Santa Claus.
And Freddy Fudd.
And Freddy Fudd.
Yeah.
The Forest Ranger.
He stopped. He
Come
start,
on up and say howdy, stranger. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. He started the Santa Claus programs in Wichita.
Right.
And He was a singer. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I do. Yes, sir.
Had a tremendous voice.
He actually made a little money on the side at weddings.
Oh, yes. And
great
and funerals.
And funerals.
Where are you, Henry?
And then again, there's a gentleman who's one of the nicest men you would ever meet.
Oh, yeah. Henry was a super guy. Also from southeast Kansas.
Really?
That's where the good guys come
from.
Where's
he from?
Near Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Not far from there.
I'm running out of personalities. Does anybody else want to bring? I guess we should mention Tom Leahy. Who became Major Astro at some point.
Well, I worked first with Tom over at BB, or KWBB.
And there's a guy who had the voice.
Oh, my goodness.
The big, yeah.
He had the tremendous voice.
Yeah.
And he was a jokester, a prankster, and an altogether great guy.
And now and then.
I hated him for some things because of the jokes he'd pull on, but I loved him for other stuff, so.
And he did, of course, the movie, what was it called, Midnight or something?
No.
Nightmare.
No, let's see, what was it? He had Rodney and the Host.
Rodney and the Host, yeah. Well, there are people out there who have never seen this stuff. You don't know what you're missing.
They don't know, yeah.
Some of it was really, really funny, and a lot of it was just awful TV.
Oh. And you could get by with some of the worst things, you know. Oh, my goodness. Mistakes were rampant in those days. But, you know, people kind of overlooked that, I guess. They kept watching anyway, and we were tied to a rating,
yeah.
As you are.
Sure.
And every 90 days we'd have a sit-down with Martin, and he would look at the ratings, and you would say, well, I guess my job is on the line today, but we're going to see Martin.
Mm.
And you had another 90 days.
You mentioned something that, of course, live radio. We do a live morning show.
Right.
On KNSS.
I listen every morning.
I'll tell you. And we keep it, we stay pretty professional. We don't mess up a lot. But, you know, there was a time when, in this business, if you were on the air, there's always some clown ready to try to crack you up. Did you ever get somebody really got to you while you were on the air?
No, I was the original laughing boy.
You did the other thing.
Oh, my goodness. Tom Leahy used to do things that, let's see, what can I talk about here? We had a studio with a glass kind of like yours here at eye level.
Yeah.
And he came by on a cart one day with a flower on his chest, like he was dead, rolled right under the window. And then he came in one day and tied Jim Setter's shoestrings to the table leg, so he couldn't get up to get. I mean, these were just minor things that we don't talk about.
We've heard about people reading copy and having someone come up and light it on fire as they.
Oh, yeah.
That probably happened a time or two.
Well, in the old days, we had, instead of having a teleprompter, we had cheat sheets on a stick on the camera on both sides. And we had our Price commercial one night. I did the Price commercials. For the Ford company. And the commercials were, one side was new cars, the other side was a used car. So we had this reveal, we were really going to do it. We had the reveal where the new Falcon was in a cover with a string on it.
Yeah.
And it was backlighted. And the old used car was sitting over here in a corner. And so I was supposed to talk about the used car first, then go to the new car. But what they had done was reverse the cheats.
There you go.
So I had a LTD of some sort that was crouching in the corner. And then I had this beautiful other car. And so everything went wrong that day. And I got a little Martinized over that, of course.
Listen, we're out of time. We'll have to come back and do another show.
Oh, no.
And fill in the cracks. Hey, thanks for being with us, Carl. Our guest, retired television personality, Carl Berg, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.